We're going to switch gears and talk about Iraq. Allison, remember those 18 benchmarks laid out by Congress to measure progress in Iraq last year?
Yeah, I believe that about half may have been met.
May have been met. Well, the
may have been. We'll be nice about it.
Yeah,
may have been met.
That's optimistic. Well, one of the sticking points, one of the benchmarks that was really getting a lot of tension, very important, was a law that has to do with allowing former members of Saddam Hussein's Ba'athist party back into government. This is something that's been causing a lot of tension between the Shiite-led government and Sunnis. This has now been approved by the Iraqi parliament last Saturday. And U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was in Baghdad this week, and she praised that decision. She was there emphasizing that this is a major step towards reconciliation. Meanwhile, on the military front, violence this week in Baghdad's Diyala province, where a female suicide bomber killed at least 9 people who were preparing for Shiite Islam's holiest festival, Ashura. And yesterday, another suicide bomber detonated a bomb in a Shiite mosque in Diyala province, killing 10 men as they observed the holiday. What does this mean, though? How do you put these stories into context to make better sense out of what's going on in Iraq? We'll help you do that in this segment that we call The Week in Iraq. And here to help us wade through this is Amit Paley with The Washington Post. Amit, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being on. Amit is a correspondent with The Post in Baghdad right now. Amit, let's start with the Ba'athist benchmark legislation first. As I said, the Iraqi parliament decided to approve this last Saturday. Why is this significant?
Well, the significance of this legislation is actually in great dispute right now, in part because legislation itself is very complicated and because the effect of it is unknown to almost everyone, including all the parliamentarians who voted for it. This is really complicated because it is trying in some ways to undo the very first order of the Bush administration when they came into Iraq. It was known as CPA Order Number 1, and it basically disbanded the Ba'ath Party and forced thousands, tens of thousands of Ba'athists out of their positions. And in Iraq, the Ba'ath Party was the only party, so most of the leadership, most of the top administrators, basically everyone who was running the government was suddenly thrust out of their jobs, leaving the government itself in chaos, but also putting a lot of Sunnis, a lot of critics say, putting a lot of Sunnis into the insurgency and causing a lot of the problems we've seen in the past 5 years.
So this legislation
intended to,
go ahead,
undo that. The question is, what impact is that going to have, and how many of those people who've been put out of their jobs are going to be brought back into the government? And no one quite seems to know the answer to that right now.
I was going to ask, it's one thing to pass this legislation, but the tension is so deep and the rift runs so deep historically. Have the Sunnis been burned? It's one thing to say, yes, come back, but are there really jobs and would they really take them?
Well, that's the question. There are now thousands of former Ba'ath Party members who are Sunnis outside the country, and conversations with a lot of them, they don't trust this legislation. They don't trust the government, which is Shia-led, and they're telling us that they're not going to be coming back no matter what this legislation says. But more than that, they really feel the legislation is not as welcoming as it could be. And there are some people who actually say this legislation is going to make things worse for Ba'ath Party members and might actually force people out of the government who are currently in it right now. So that certainly wasn't the intent of the United States when they tried to get this law passed. It's not clear if those concerns are accurate, but they are causing some concern that Sunnis are going to be angrier after they understand what this law means than they were even before.
So we're very far away from the grand political reconciliation that's been talked about. But I want to switch gears, moving from the political to the military. We've been hearing a lot about how the effect of the surge is taking root in Iraq. Security is apparently better. But this week, a top U.S. military commander told a congressional panel that Iraqi military officials told him that they won't be able to assume full responsibility for their country's security until the year 2012. That was Lieutenant General James Dubik, who was speaking to that House panel. What's the word in Iraq? Have you spoken to Iraqi military leaders, and what are they saying they need in order to increase their ownership of this, their capacity?
Well, I think to some extent a lot of these projections about exactly how many years into the future they'll be able to be fully responsible for their security, I think some of those estimates are a little beside the point. They keep changing. We've heard different numbers every few years. think what is not in dispute is that they are quite a ways away from being able to be fully responsible for their own security. And it's surprising because you hear from a number of people of both parties who do not want the United States to leave because they think if they do, it will create a power vacuum and will create a lot of problems. And the success of the troop buildup, the so-called surge over the past year in reducing violence in some places in Iraq, has only reemphasized to a number of Iraqi politicians the importance of having the U.S. here to create security for their citizens.
You were embedded in Diyala province last week. This is a province that's been rife with violence for a while now. What's security like in Diyala post-surge?
Well, it's ironic in that the surge has in some ways contributed to more violence in Diyala and more problems there. The surge, the buildup of troops in Baghdad, and also the success of what's called, known as a Sunni awakening and Sunni groups joining the United States to fight al-Qaeda in Iraq in western Anbar province, the success of those two efforts has pushed a lot of the insurgents out of those areas and caused them to flee to parts of northern Iraq, like Mosul and in particular Diyala province. I was there last week for what was billed as a major military operation. It was unusually large, 5,000 troops designed to root out insurgents, and really being there with those troops showed just how difficult this endeavor can be when they arrived in the places that they thought they were going to find 200 Sunni insurgents hold up. They found very little. They found remnants of al-Qaeda in Iraq, but either the insurgents had fled or they'd blended in with the local population. And now we're getting reports in the past 2 days there have been two major suicide bombs, one by a woman and one yesterday in a mosque, showing just how difficult it can be to pin down where these insurgents are.
Well, a mixed bag. Clearly some political reconciliation on the horizon, but still clearly some military complexities, shall we say. Amit Paley with The Washington Post, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, stay with us. Next on the show, young evangelicals are flocking to Republican Mike Huckabee. We'll tell you why. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.